I've entitled this message, Listening to the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you have never asked us to stand in our own strength, but that you speak to us. And you begin to place the burden that you have on your heart that needs to be communicated. I thank you for every pastor that comes to this pulpit and ministers your word, for you speak to them and you, through them, deliver your heart. Tonight, Holy Spirit, I ask that you take your word. I'm asking tonight that you give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking, that we might truly be a people not only free, not only rejoicing, but going forward in a divine anointing in these last days. God, this is my cry. I pray that you use this word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Open with me to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and just keep it open there. I'm going to be teaching, I'm going to be talking, I'm going to be preaching. If I get excited, forgive me. But this is something that has been pulsating in my heart for a period of time, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will just begin ministering to your heart through the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey the Lord. It's when we make a decision in our heart to obey God, when the Holy Spirit speaks and it resonates on the inside of us and we make a decision to obey Him, the Bible tells me that He gives the power of the Holy Spirit to then walk it out. He's not asking us to walk anything out in our own strength or our own abilities. That's not Christianity. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Pastor William shared in communion tonight, right down the line, Judas Iscariot, when he saw the weakness, when he saw Jesus and the perceived weakness of washing feet, he made a decision to go in another direction. See, that is the crux of the message of Christianity. The end of Judas was one thing, and the end of Jesus was a resurrection from the dead. And I want to share these thoughts tonight because it's a concern in my heart that there are many people, including my own self, that hear the Word of God. We are sitting under the rich teaching of God's Word week after week after week after week. And yet, under this anointing and under the preaching of a powerful word, there are still lives and homes and people who are unchanged. It ought not to be so, beloved. We ought to be able to hear the word of God, embrace it, and God gives the power of the Holy Spirit to see those changes take place in our lives. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, we read about a particular situation, and I'm going to talk about two men tonight. Pastor Carter has preached on this before, very powerful message, and I'm probably going to be just reiterating many of the things that he spoke on some time back. But the story is about two men, one called David and the other called Joab. Joab is David's nephew. Zeruah is David's sister, older sister. And Joab is the son of Zeruah, making it a nephew to David. So there's a close tie here. There's a relationship between these two people, but so vastly different. We have with Joab, he had a brother who was killed by Abner in a particular battle. And Joab's brother was killed, and he held this vendetta in his heart. So here is a man. Here we've got two people, David and Joab. They in the same army, heading in the same direction. They are going, they got probably the same kind of uniform on. It's hard to tell them apart, but you've got two men traveling in two directions. I mean, in the same direction. But one is ascending to a throne. We've got one man who is listening to God, obeying the voice of the Holy Ghost, listening to what God is speaking to, is very, very sensitive to the Holy Spirit in his walk. And we see this man, David, as it may look like a perceived weakness on his side. And Joab looks at David, I'm sure, in the same way that Judas Iscariot looked at Jesus, as somebody who is weak. But this particular person, David, is on his way to a throne. He's getting stronger and stronger in God. He's going to a place where God is going to anoint him as a king, as a ruler. And yet you've got this other man who, in all respects, looks like a solid Christian. He's a military tactician. He is a genius at warfare. He looks like a Christian person who wins battles after battles, commands respect from everybody around him. And yet, this person, Joab, on the outside, looks like the model Christian, the model believer, yet he is heading in a direction of misery, where one day he will be clinging to the horns of an altar, begging for mercy and finding none. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to end this race well. I don't want to end trying to find mercy on an altar because I made wrong decisions all the way through my life. I might look like the model Christian on the outside. I may look like I have it all together. And there may even be the visible signs of battles being won, victories being won for the Lord. But yet the end result of his life is one of misery. He doesn't end well. Folks, I say it to you, I don't know about you, but as for me, I want to end this race well. I want to continue to grow in grace. I want to continue to grow in mercy. I want to continue listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I want to continue growing in the things that God has called me to do, to stand, to believe on. I want to end this race so well in my heart. I don't want to be clinging to some altar begging for mercy. So we take a look at this particular situation here in 2 Samuel chapter 3. And so Abner, the one who killed Joab's brother, younger brother, meets with David, goes on his way. Joab finds out. He's a man who is self-willed. I had another title. I was going to call it Victory Over the Dominant Human Spirit. How many people do we know proclaim to be saved, proclaim to be Christian, but yet have a dominant human spirit? You sit next to them and you feel uncomfortable. They just send the hair up on your neck. You always feel intimidated. You always feel belittled. And it's a dominant human spirit that has never come under the control of God's Holy Spirit. And we all know people like that. And it's not only extroverts who look like that. It's not only in loudness. You can be an introvert and controlling by silence. You can have moods that are absolutely controlling the atmosphere all around you. It's a dominant human spirit that doesn't allow the Spirit of Jesus Christ to rule in that life. And folks, the end result of this, it may look good for a season, but the end result is misery. It's not this ascension to an ever-increasing walk with God, to where he has a plan and a destiny on your life, and you end up well like David. It goes in a complete opposite direction. And so you've got this man, Joab, who has got this area in his life where he doesn't let it go. There is no working of the Spirit of God in him. He sees this man, Abner, and he hasn't released the bitterness. He hasn't released those areas of dominance. He hasn't released those areas of control, that religiousness in his spirit. So when he sees Abner having been to David on his way, he gets him aside and kills him. You see, beloved, tonight, hear me. Counselors, hear me. When dealing with circumstances in life, look beyond what the person looks like on the outside. There's a lot of people raising their hands and worshiping God who are devils at home. They speak the things of God here, but their heart is resistant to the things of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that I'll be able to get through this in due time. The Bible says that after he killed Abner, David moves from this and he begins to go immediately into a place of humility. Pastor William preached a message a few months back on humility. The devil has no answer for it. He's got no weapon to combat against humility. And I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. And so David, when he sees Abner being killed, he moves immediately into a place of humility. He's grieved that a man of this stature has been killed senselessly in Israel. And then he makes this statement, and this is the verse that I want to concentrate on tonight in verse 39. Well, let's just read a few verses here in verse 35. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day. See, David went into fasting for the sorrow of a good man, a mighty man like Abner, who was killed in Israel. And David swears, saying to God, so do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. He says, No, you don't understand. I'm grieving. I'm grieving that a mighty man has been slain senselessly in Israel today. So he moves in humility. He says, I'm not going to eat anything until the sun goes down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them. You see, folks, when you are moving with the Holy Spirit and obeying the Spirit of God, it pleases people all around you. People sense the love, the mercy, the grace of God all around. People begin to know you're walking with God because there's something emanating from you by the Spirit of God, which is kindness and gentleness. It's humility, which the devil has no answer for. And it pleased the people. They begin to respond to this. They begin to respond and say, this is right, this is good, because this man is moving by the Spirit of God in that which is right. And so the people took notice and it pleased them. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. Now verse 39 is the key. And this is what David says. And I am this day weak. So when he begins to speak about it, and David is talking, verse 38, and the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And this is, listen to the heart of the man who's moving with God at a great cost to himself, at a cost to his own pride, at a cost to his own standing. This is what he says. And I am this day weak, though anointed king. We'll come back to him, but I want to just make the statement now. David is letting us know that he has, as anointed king, he could move in authority. He could move in strength. Even though I'm anointed king, and I could move in strength and just overwhelm the situation now, take it into my own hands. I've got the authority. I've got the anointing to move in strength and power. He does the exact opposite. And he begins to move in weakness, in humility. I can take authority. I can move in power. But I choose this day to walk in weakness. Because he knows that when you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, you don't have to worry how you're going to get up. Because the mighty hand of God is going to pick you up. God holds you. God holds the man and the woman who puts themselves into His hand. See, when you humble yourself, you never have to worry. How are you going to get up? Because God says, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to hold you. I'm going to sustain you. Oh, beloved, if we can just get this truth into our spirit, if we can understand this tonight, God, give us ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is speaking. Because if you hear it tonight, there's going to be many people in this house that God is going to begin picking up in your situation. God is going to begin to sustain you. God is going to begin to hold you against all your enemies. And we'll see that in the scriptures. Hallelujah. And that's the way that David goes. He says, I'm a king. I can operate in power and authority. I can be tough if I want to, but I choose to let God be glorified. Well, folks, it goes against the grain. It goes against everything in human nature. We are so proud. We always want to boast. We always want to see ourselves as something. But God says, no, no, you go the other way and I will pick you up and I will sustain you. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too hard for me. David, when he said that statement, he wasn't saying that he couldn't deal with them. He wasn't saying that I'm so weak that I can't deal with Joab. He wasn't saying that I'm intimidated to the point where I can't handle a tough situation. No, 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 no. What he's saying is, I don't want to be like that. It's too hard for me. I don't want my heart to become hard like this. That's what he's saying. These guys, they in my army, they're traveling in the same direction I'm going, but they're too hard for me. There is a resistance to the things of God in the heart. And even though they win battles, there's no peace. They might win victories, but go into the home and you find a different set of circumstances. The word hard here means severe, unfeeling, cruel, harsh, inflexible. It means stubborn. How many of us are inflexible? When we're driving down the highway and someone cuts in front of us. Amen. Inflexible. When something doesn't go our way. And you've got this plan and you haven't communicated, but in your mind you've got it all set and going. And then somebody changes things and wrecks your plan. Inflexible. You see, this is what David is saying. He says, I don't want to go down that path. I don't want to be perceived as somebody where the creeping in of stubbornness is causing me to move in a direction that is away from the Spirit of God. I don't want to go in that direction. It's too hard for me. I don't want that. You see, this is the desire of the Holy Ghost. If you are truly born again by the Spirit of God, then there comes within you a desire by the Holy Spirit to be completely opposite to what this is. And this is what David is saying. He says, I'm king. I'm anointed king. I can travel in this direction, but I choose not to go there. It's too hard. The end result of this inflexibility, obstinate. Hello? Obstinate. And then violent. It's like placing a heavy yoke that is hard to bear. You go into some homes and you just understand that it's just so hard. It's a father who says to his kids, you pray to Jesus. You pray to Jesus. Read your Bible. We're going to church on Sunday. We're going to praise the Lord. Come on, kids, read and pray to Jesus. But he's abusive. Raises his hands in church, but when he gets home and behind closed door, is abusive to his spouse. Intolerant. You pray to Jesus, step out of line, you're going to get it. A hardness, a toughness that is unreasonable. It's the wife who's in church often. In fact, whenever the doors are open, she's here. Always in church, praising, singing. She sings beautifully. She should be in the choir. But yet, because things are not right at home, she becomes cold and unresponsive. There are people in marriages today where it is no longer a husband and a wife. It has become a brother-sister relationship. Amen. Folks, you cannot raise your hands in the house and say, I'm being moved by the Holy Ghost. And then when you get home, you are cold and unresponsive and unyielding to the Holy Ghost. With an inability to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Whoa, but you don't know my rights. Well, we do have a Bill of Rights. You want to hear the Bill of Rights that God gives us? You have no rights. The only right that you have is to submit yourself to Almighty God. We have a right to die. You have a right to submit. You have a right to be soft and tender. Counselors, are you getting this? It's the office worker. Comes to Times Square Church. They all know that this man is a wonderful, born-again Christian because he's told everybody, or she's told everybody. They all know the testimony, saved. Jesus. Unashamed to tell about Jesus. But then by attitudes causes people to walk on eggshells. And the whole office doesn't want to go near this person because they're having a bad day. You see, it's a dominant human spirit that refuses to come under the lordship of Christ. We should be moved by the Holy Ghost to suffer wrong. We don't even understand what it means that he went as a lamb to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. We are so quick to justify ourselves. And our attitude permeates wherever we are. Beloved, it ought not to be so. It ought to be that in every environment, like the scriptures tell us that David, when David began to humble himself, all the people round about him felt blessed. Are people blessed around you? Did you come into the house tonight and choose a seat that you were resistant to move from? And because the usher told you to, now you are in a mood. And everybody around you feels it. I don't know if I can praise God. I got to just move a little way aside from this person. It's a resistant, dominant spirit that we can praise God and go home and demand our rights when we get there. It is the young person who sings in the YPC and yet at school or in college sulks and is sullen and abrasive. These things ought not to be. Stephen, when speaking to those on when they were about to stone him, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Folks, let me tell you, I do not want to end my day with this kind of a word spoken over my life. That he was stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. In fact, God couldn't peel away those things in his life. I couldn't break through because of a dominance that persisted in his life. He said, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Oh, God. If two people in a marriage would just simply not resist the Holy Ghost. We've got Christians in marriages today who are consistently and continuously resisting the Holy Ghost to walk in humility and kindness and forgiveness. If you hear this tonight and you say, that's me. Your marriage can be healed in an instant tonight. You don't need six steps. You don't need any counseling. You don't need any program at all. If you just listen to the Holy Ghost when He speaks and obey, your marriage can be healed in an instant. Relationships can be healed with parents and family members. It can be healed in a moment of time. By just saying, God, and I'm telling you, beloved, there's no steps. It's not a walk of do's and don'ts. It's not an I can do man. It's simply obeying the Holy Spirit. David said this. He said in verse 39, and I am this day weak, though anointed king. The word weak with David means soft, tender, delicate, understanding, kind. He says, when something has caused grief, when there's an issue of contention, David doesn't go in a direction of hardness, he goes in a direction of weakness, remaining tender. Young ladies, if you've got your eye on a young man, and he is cute as anything because he praises God, and you think this is it, God's led you to the man, you hang around for a short while, because this is how God is going to show you what's in the guy's heart. God will arrange and allow circumstances to come along to irk the individual. And you watch the response. If the response is, oh, I am so sorry this happened, grab him. Amen. Take him by the hand and just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Because there is a man who's going to walk by the Spirit of God. Because you know that when you burn the toast, he's not going to yell at you. That's true, folks. It might be as simple as toast. But if the heart is unsubmitted to Jesus Christ, it results in hardness and a dominance. And you will feel it and you will suffer under it. But the person like David... He didn't care what Joab thought. He may have looked like a ninny. He may have looked like a weak individual. He may have looked like a pansy. He may have looked like... But I got to tell you, no matter what Joab saw and looked at David, David is still a giant killer. David is still a man of God where he won victory after victory after victory. And God took him to the throne. Hallelujah. He may look like a pansy, but you grab him because he's moving by the Spirit of God. He went with tenderness, delicate, understanding, kind, softness. He allowed God to lead him into the place of victory. In life, we are going to be challenged again and again by going this way or that way. I don't know if I'm expressing myself well enough tonight. I just pray by the Holy Spirit as God has worked this into my heart to communicate that if people can hear the Spirit of God and you obey it, so when something goes against the grain, you will hear the voice of the Lord speak to you immediately. You will hear it. You'll hear a little voice on the inside say, this is the way, walk ye in it. You'll hear it. And if you say, you'll hear the voice of the Holy Spirit just say, just calm, humble yourself, walk in gentleness, walk in kindness right now. And if you respond, the Bible says, as I read to you in Acts chapter 5, the Bible says that if you obey, and this is the secret of a victorious Christian life, in the home, in the workplace, in the college, in the school, it doesn't matter where you are, the secret of a victorious Christian walk is this. It's simply this, that when God speaks to you, and you've got your ears open to His voice and not your dominant spirit. Your dominant spirit inside of you, that flesh man, that I can do man, will be right there to say, he cut you off. Honk your horn right now. The Holy Ghost will say, back up. Keep your peace. So you get to church late. You don't sit in your favorite seat. You go to the annex because you can't sit in the main sanctuary. But you've kept your peace. It doesn't take you the next half hour of praise and worship before you begin to settle your heart because you got angry and honked the horn and yelled and screamed. Folks, it's the victory of the Christian walk is how we respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He says, if you obey it, then I will give you my Holy Spirit. You obey me, I give you the power of the Holy Spirit, and you begin to walk under the anointing. That's what David says, I'm anointed as king, but I don't abuse the situation. I keep walking in a place where I give it all to God. I let God do the lifting up. I let God win the battles. I let God win the victories in my life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let me close in 2 Samuel chapter 22. By the way, I made copious notes on this. This could be a whole seminar. I was tempted. At one point, I said to my wife, I got so many notes, I just shut them down. I cannot even go any further because it's leading into so many ways that we could teach on this. But the Holy Ghost, and I just stood back, and I said, God, what are you trying to say? And I believe that I've just delivered my heart to you, what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to many, many people here today. You've got problems on the job with bosses. And the problem is not your boss. I know we've said many times that you've got a demonized boss and he's giving you problems. And that's the issue. You're praying him out. But maybe the problem is not the demonized boss. Maybe the problem is you are too dominant. Wanting your own way and resisting the Holy Ghost. Oh, beloved, look what David does. 2 Samuel 22. David had enemies, but he humbled himself. I love this. We're going to close in just a few verses. I'm not going to preach them. I'm going to read them to you and just add a little thing and we'll shut down. Verse 28. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 28. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. So those who are afflicted, who don't take dominance, who submit, whatever the pain might be, God will save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. One way or another, every knee is going to bow. I'm going to bow my knee before I'm brought down. You bow it first, you get saved. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. When a wife begin to trust in God more than your own ideas of how this marriage ought to be, Would you start trusting in God, sir, of how this marriage ought to be or this relationship ought to be more than you understand with your own wisdom? Would we trust God in every circumstance? Would you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and trust God with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend? Would you trust God with the child? Would you trust God with the boss? Would you trust God with every situation? This is what he's saying. Humble yourselves. We don't even know how to spell the word. We think humble is my right. For God's way is perfect. Look at verse 33. He says, God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. When my self flesh rises up with a bow of steel, the Holy Ghost will come in and say, you break it now. He's not talking about, it might be an external enemy for David, but it's an internal enemy for us. When you want to rise up and that bow is struck to fly that arrow of arrogance, that arrow of you know, criticism, sarcasm, God says, no, I'll give you the power to break that thing before you make that move. He teaches my hands to war. Look at verse 36. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. And this is what you need to underline in your Bible. Thy gentleness. See, God is the one that showed David how to do it. He says, thy gentleness has made me great. It's the kindness of God that saves us. The goodness of God. It's the gentleness. Thy gentleness hath made me great. And you can read the rest by yourself. It's time to end the battle. It's time to end the battle. Tonight, you can end the fight. You can end the war that is going on inside of you and all around about you. You can end it. If you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and you've got a contention somewhere along the line and God's spoken to you, end it tonight by simply obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit by coming to an altar. Not that we want to fill an altar. We don't care about filling an altar. But it's your step of obedience. And God says, when you obey to hear my voice and walk in my way, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you the power of the Holy Ghost that you can walk this out. Amen? Let's thank God. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, I've been praying and believing you that you're going to end contention tonight. Lord, I'm believing marriages are going to be healed, not because they got counsel, but because they heard the counsel of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm believing tonight that there's going to be many, many people who have longed to say, God, I'm tired of the battle, and I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has spoken to you, we've got time tonight. If God has spoken to you, and you know there's an issue, there's always two people that get wounded in contention, the person who creates the contention and the one who's under the contention. If you're in a home and you have been beat down, listen, God is going to lift you up tonight. He's going to pick you up. He's going to heal you. Like Pastor Williams said, I believe what the Holy Ghost spoke through him tonight, there's going to be people healed. But I believe not just one, I think many are going to get healed of pains in the heart and of circumstances. And if you are here tonight and you have heard the Holy Ghost and you want to end the contention in your soul, just get to this altar. Come here. Come down to this altar immediately and we'll pray with you tonight. Amen. My prayer for you will not change you. It's your prayer to Jesus that gets you the power of the Holy Ghost. It's your surrender. I want us to sing that again, Misty. And while you sing it, if you're here at this altar tonight because you have been wounded by someone who's been overbearing and dominant and you are deeply hurt and wounded, Pastor Will, by the Holy Spirit, gave a word that someone's going to be healed physically. But that can also be a physical pain of hurt as well as physical healing. And maybe your physical healing is going to come because you've yielded up something that has been blocking a faith just to trust God for that. I'm not going to try to interpret it, but I want you just to give the pain, give the problem, just surrender, give it to God. Remember, when you humble yourself, He will begin to pick you up. He'll pick your marriage. He'll pick your home. He'll begin to pick this thing up. God is the one who can move heaven and earth on your behalf. Now, if it's you tonight that you have been dominant and you know it, and you know that your spirit is not right with God, that you have allowed yourself to be ruling rather than the Holy Spirit, then just give it to God. We're going to sing it one more time, but you make the transaction between you and God. Give it to Him. Just give it to Him by faith. Lord, give us faith to believe right now. You said just a seed of faith, just a tiny seed of faith will release us. God, we ask for faith right now. Give us the faith to believe You, both for healing and deliverance, as we sing right now in Jesus' name. Let's sing it again. Thank You, Jesus. Raise your hands. Lord Jesus, I simply give it all to You. I allow Your gentleness of Your Holy Spirit to keep my heart soft. Thank You. Others may not understand, but I choose to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let kindness, meekness, sweetness, self-control rule my life by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I believe, as I humble myself before You, You gave me a promise. You, in Your time, will lift me up. I believe this and accept it and declare I'm free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. We're going to go rejoicing now. God is pleased at your obedience, let me tell you. And He's just as pleased to give you the strength of the Holy Spirit. When you walk out tonight, you walk out a different person. You walk out under the anointing, the blessing, and the peace of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We'll see you Thursday. Amen. Let's go rejoicing.